Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Wow, what a busy news day. Lots of stuff happened yesterday. We're going to talk about it all, including the news that State Senator Brian Boquist filed to run for Oregon treasurer. And at some point, we'll get Brian on the phone to talk about that. And also, State Senator Dennis Linthicum filed to run for Oregon Secretary of State. What do you think about all of that? Does that give you hope that two senators with a lot of name ID these days, for the, maybe not for the right reasons, but that those senators have name ID enough to be able to run incredible campaigns against the left, against the Democrat machine. And it is a machine, folks. There's no question about it. Now, we're also going to have a conversation at the bottom of the hour with John Lee, to say his name the right way, who is the Delta Airlines retired captain, who, for those of you who've been to the Political Coffee Clatch and other meetings that I host, he's made presentations, PowerPoint presentations, on the ODOT tolling scam. Know about where they're going to spend 83 cents or 86 cents of every dollar to collect the tolls, leaving virtually nothing to pay for what the tolls are supposed to pay for. And that poll. Now, he wrote a piece yesterday in Clark County Today. And we're going to talk about that. And because Tina Kotek looked at that poll and she saw nothing but the loss of the permanent Democrat majority in this state. I think, which, by the way, was what John Lee recounted, quoted me in the Clark County Today article. I'll have that also for you. All of that is today. So there's a lot of other things going on out there, and we'll get to them all as we get through the show today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at KSLM.news. Oregon Catalyst has a story today. Senator Boquist runs for treasurer. Senator Linthicum for Secretary of State. And they are big developments. There's also another article here on OregonWatchdog.com about an open U.S. House seat draws 10 candidates. 7 Democrats, 3 Republicans. Earl Blumenauer's seat, which he's retiring after 28 years. Now, 2/3 of Multnomah County is this district. Also includes some of Hood River County, part of Clackamas County. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's a test, friends. Now, nobody expects a Republican to win this seat, but nobody expected a bunch of Republicans to win in 2010 in Oregon. House seats, Oregon House seats. Not U.S. House. This is a U.S. House seat. We're talking about Oregon House seat. Nobody expected that to happen. And it did. Okay. Is that possible that it happens again? We'll see. There's a story today, Oregon Capitol Chronicle, Julius Shumway, two Republican senators try for the statewide office, another Republican filing day surprises. More than 325 candidates have filed to run in the May 21st election. Now, there's a picture in this that is the normal thing that happens on this day in the House of Representatives. They put up a big board. And the House of Representatives is open. You can walk into the chambers. In fact, the picture I'm looking at here is Representative Ed Deal and his wife, Jamie, and others are standing up and looking at the board. The board is all of the names of all the people they're filing for office. Now, so, a former employee of the Bureau of Labor and Industries who recently won a $425,000 settlement with the agency. By the way, we paid for that with the taxpayers. You may not know that. Oregon is self-insured. So when we have to pay out these settlements, you know, like the settlement for the person, the state employee who leaked John and preserved John Kitzhaber's emails proving that he and his girlfriend were corrupt, that employee got fired, sued the state under the whistleblower laws, and the state settled. We, the taxpayers, paid for that. We just paid $425,000 to this employee who's challenging Dan Rayfield, the outgoing Speaker of the House, in the Democrat primary for Attorney General. Ooh, that's interesting. We'll see what happens there. There are others, and we'll get to them as we go along through the day today. By the way, speaking of candidates who have secured nominations, Donald Trump can thank Washington State Republicans for putting him over the top. He clinched. He has enough delegates to clinch the nomination for 2024. Now, everybody kind of knew this was happening, but kudos to you Republicans in Washington State for securing enough delegates. In fact, CBS News is showing the graphic in this story of Trump gets 1,218 delegates, Nikki Haley got 91, Ron DeSantis got 9, Vivek got 3. So kudos to you. Now, Biden also got his nomination. There's a poll out, by the way, speaking of that. And Art, hang on, I'm going to get you in just a second here. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. There's another poll. There have been two polls, nationwide polls, that have been done since Biden's angry "so too" speech. So what speech, as Rush used to call it. The headline of this one is, poll finds that Biden got no boost in numbers from angry partisan "so too" speech. All of the pundits are out there saying, well, not all of them, but a lot of the, certainly those on the left, and a bunch of rhino Republicans, talk about how wonderful Biden did. You know, they had him so hopped up on drugs that he was cognizant. This is a Yahoo News YouGov poll. And the headline is that no State of the Union bump for Biden. The numbers have remained, and this is a big poll, it's 1,482 U.S. adults. Now, it doesn't say that these are voters. These are just adults. So, you know, obviously, when you're talking about something like this, which is a big television event, you want to see how people perceive it overall. Here's what's interesting. Nothing changed, basically. And in fact, it did change. Trump gained 1 point in this same poll, because the previous poll had Trump only up by one. Now he's up by two. The Forbes-Harris X poll continues to show Trump up at 4. These are the two polls, the Forbes, Harris, and the Morning Consult poll previous to this. And again, these are polls taken after the State of the Union. Trump gained a point, actually 2 points for Trump. Trump's up 1. And now we have the YouGov poll. Biden lost 2 points. Biden lost 2 points, folks. Trump gains 2 points. Now, polls are just that, right? But it is a very, and should be, if I were a Democrat consultant, I would be really worried. By the way, when you've got the leftist news media on your side, why worry? House Republicans launch a new probe of January 6th is the headline. Tries to shifting blame for the Capitol attack away from Trump. Yep. That's the leftist media. That ain't what's happening. We'll get to that. But I got to get to Art. Art, sorry it's taking me so long to bloviate and get to you. How are you, friend?
You are bloviating well this morning, my friend. I mean, it is a day, to rejoice, but also a day to start rolling up our sleeves because times are changing. Times can change, but only if we do what we need to. Dennis running for Secretary of State. Can't wait to campaign for him. He reminds me so much of Dennis Richardson, and you know what a good Secretary of State he was, and did the job like he was supposed to. I mean, we got good candidates out there, Jeff, but we need to roll up our sleeves to counteract the BS from the news media, because we know how woke they are. And that's how we do it. You was talking about Bowtie Blumenhauer retiring and stuff, and that position. It's very winnable, okay, if we do the right messaging. Blumenhauer was a far left loony, as we all know, and he could care less about Oregonians as a whole, let alone the people in his area. And so we got to have the right messaging. We definitely got to use, Facebook and all that kind of good stuff to promote our candidates. And I believe it's totally winnable, Jeff. I remember when we, got close, and the Democrats had to work with us. Inflation's up, and speaking of Biden, no bump after his speech the other night. That never happens, Jeff.
I know.
It did now.
Art, you're
so
right.
I'm telling you, okay, the fruit is ripe for Republicans and independents and those Democrats that can see what the hell's going on, okay, to finally make our state a state that cares about the people and not just money and power. And I'm impressed with candidates. I am definitely going to have
call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour, 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff, 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Gary had sent me an email about reminding me the Clackamas County Republican Lincoln Day dinner is coming up. And the guest speaker is Dr. Sebastian Gorka, talk show host, special assistant to President Donald Trump. He's the guest speaker at this event. And if you want to sign up, It's an America First Lincoln Day dinner. By the way, they give special thanks to Brent Barker for Oregon, who's the Republican 2024 Secretary of State candidate, for him making the invitation and sponsoring Dr. Gorka. This is, what's the date here? It's at the Monarch Hotel. I am not actually seeing the actual date for this thing. No, it's Saturday, March 23rd. It's coming up. March 23rd, Monarch Hotel and a Conference Center. Okay? Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And you can contact the Clackamas County Republican Party by emailing treasurer@clackamascountyrepublicans.org. clackamascountyrepublicans.org. treasurer@clackamascountyrepublicans.org. So, let me ask you this question. Trump gets the nomination for the Republicans. That's obvious. What happens if he wins? Now, one of the things that the Democrats are talking about, and this is being talked about on War Room, Democrats are saying if they win the U.S. House of Representatives, they're going to choose to not, they're simply not going to vote to seat Donald Trump as president. What do you think would happen then? But there's another article that Charlie Kirk was talking about yesterday. This is on a website. It's on the libertydaily.com. It's a website called endoftheamericandream.com. Life as you have known it will never be the same again. Okay. Now, that's not particularly inspiring or hopeful, is it? I believe it can be. I believe the American dream can continue, and that should be our goal. Will it be? I think that depends on us. But whoever, Michael, who wrote this article, said, what will happen when they give the green light to millions of radicals to cause widespread chaos all over America? Remember, 120 days of consecutive rioting and violent protests downtown Portland during Trump after the George Floyd thing. What happens? I mean, look, we've had 10 million illegals come across the southern border. Many of them are military-age men. Crime in the subway system in New York is so bad, the leftist governor there has had to call in the National Guard. So why is it, I mean, if mass transit is an issue, and you got to call out the guard who are carrying guns with live ammunition. In Pittsburgh, the cops there are no longer responding to calls involving theft, harassment, criminal mischief, burglary. In Oakland, crime is so bad that 4 out of 5 Taco Bell restaurants in the city have completely closed their dining rooms. Wow. So, crime is rampant in America today. Organized retail crime. You know, gangs come in and just clean out a place. Nobody can stop them. What happens when those people get the green light from the leftist purveyors of hate? What happens when they say, go for it? Do what happened in Portland all across the country. What do you think will happen then? How do you survive? How do you get to work? Will your job even be there? Now, I'm not just making a hypothetical here, folks. This is what's likely to happen. Because you see, it worked really well for Trump to go after Trump. It worked really well. What's the appropriate response? What do you think it ought to be? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at kslm.news. A state employee who shall never be named gives an or has a story here about Bernie Sanders decided to endorse Sushila Jayapal, whose sister made a fool of herself yesterday in the Robert Hur hearings. Her sister is a congresswoman. Jayapal is running for Earl Blumenauer's seat. What do you think? What should be the response when the left turns loose the crazy people, including many who are illegals? How are you going to protect yourself if the cops are told to stand down like Ted Wheeler told the Portland police to do after they defunded it? What do you do? What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on Dennis Lithicum and Tina Kotek canceling tolling? Back in a moment with John.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes top of the hour. Great to have you with us, friends. The Political Coffee, you're just joining us. Some big news. And then we're going to get into quickly this this great article by retired Delta Airlines Captain John Lee about, did Tina Kotek really cancel tolling or just some of tolling? Is this the real deal? Is it smoke and mirrors? The big news, of course, is Trump got the nomination thanks to Washington State Republicans. He now will be officially the Republican nominee to face Joe Biden. Also, the big news that State Senator Brian Boquist is filed to run for Oregon Treasurer. State Senator Dennis Lithicum running for Oregon Secretary of State. Both of them, as you know, cannot run again for the Oregon Senate because of Measure 113. And what do you think about the expected chaos, by the way, that will happen across the country? The riots, the chaos, if Donald Trump wins the presidency, irrespective of whether Democrats take control of the House and do as they say, that they're saying, we're not going to see him as president, throwing us into a constitutional crisis. Wouldn't that be just about up to their speed? Something that should be up to your speed, however, is being really comfortable in your home on these cold nights. And you do that with Freedom Heating and Air, the great services that they provide you in not just emergency services. So like if your system dies on you, you give them a call, they come out and they fix it right away. But maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to look at a new system or adding things to your current system that make it work better. They can do all of that for you. So go to freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net, or just give them a call, 503-580-1456, 580-1456. John Lee joins us. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeff. Always great to hear your voice.
You're far too kind. You wrote a great article yesterday, and it is really prescient in that I think it poses really kind of the right questions here in the form of not posing a question. So the headline of your article is "The Challenges Larger Than the Benefits the Governor Claims." Why is that headline written that way?
it shows that the government was trying to do something that had zero legitimate benefit for the people of the state of Oregon. And it's amazing how much money they have already wasted. And I strongly suspect that there was no way they knew they could sell this.
I think that's the really big issue. And that last poll that came out showing that 76% of Portland Metro residents, with 91% of Clackamas County residents, opposed the whole idea. I think that was the final nail in the coffin. But yet, it ain't over till it's over, is it? This thing's actually, tolling is still actually alive, isn't it, John? Are you there, John? Did I lose you? Did we lose John? No, he's still there.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. Sorry.
There you go. Okay.
Cell phone dropped off. So the question you had was, why would they say the challenges are larger than the benefits? There was no way they could sell this. The people in Oregon were rightly up in arms, and they were gathering signatures for a citizen initiative, IP4, that was going to require a vote before tolling could be put on any Oregon highway, number one. And in a sense, more importantly, the small communities along...
Yeah, we just lost him again. Yeah, that's a problem. Why don't you try to call John?
So I am back in, my friend.
Yeah, your cell phone keeps dropping out, likely. So call the call-in, the regular call-in line. Let me give that to you. It's 503-589-1220.
589-1220.
Yeah, just call that line. And folks, we're talking with John Lee. You can read his article at clarkcountytoday.com. It is the lead article. It's entitled, Oregon Governor Kotek Kills I-5 and I-205 Per Mile Tolling, the Proposed I-5 Bridge Tolls Remain. Now, for Clark County, that's the big deal. Because if you're a Clark County resident and you got to drive to Oregon, like a lot of Clark County people do every day to go to work, you're going to have to pay a bunch of money. Now, John, you're back with us, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Tina kills the I-5 and I-205 per mile tolling, but did not stop the I-5 bridge tolling, the new bridge that they're going to build, or the tolls on the two I-205 bridges, the Tualatin River.
Exactly right.
And the Abernathy Bridge. So what do you think is going to happen there? Are they still going to try to toll those things?
Absolutely, if they can get away with it. Number one, Greg Johnson, the administrator of the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program, has already informed legislators and key people that they are moving forward with their plans to toll the I-5 Interstate Bridge, which, by the way, will pick the people's pockets for billions of dollars. Their finance plan indicates they want to raise between $1.2 billion and $1.5 billion in money that they go sell bonds to Wall Street and then have people pay back over a 30 to 40 year period with tolling. The other unknown piece, but ODOT would not tell elected officials in Oregon whether or not they are going to cancel the Abernathy Bridge and Tualatin River Bridge tolls. And therefore, if they won't definitively say they're going to cancel it, they are going to try and find a way to get the camel's nose into the tent in order to resurrect the per mile tolls at some later date.
Well, somehow they're going to have to pay for this huge Abernathy Bridge update on I-205 there. You can see all the cranes out in the river there. How are they going to pay for that if they don't toll it?
Well, as always, an appropriate question, my friend. One aspect of this is that ODOT was planning to spend $261 million simply to implement the RMPP per mile tolls. Well, now that's off the table. That $261 million equals two-thirds of the funding shortfall ODOT needs to finish the Abernathy Bridge project. But nonetheless, the other aspect, of course, is hang on to your wallets. The governor has already said next session, the long session of the Oregon legislature, she will be asking the legislature for a major transportation funding package. But there are no details yet. That'll be worked out in the next 6 to 9 months.
So, John, quoted in your story is Dean Sir, who's the head person at Vote Before Tolls. This is that initiative you alluded to. He said they're pausing the 2024 effort to confirm that not only is all of the per mile tolling going to be gone, but that Willamette and Tualatin River Bridge tolls are not going to happen. So if they don't confirm that it's not going to happen, do you think the IP4 effort continues, or they do it for 2026?
So they will do it for 2026. Is my impression based on the clock that started ticking when they began collecting tolls. They had to finish gathering signatures essentially by the end of June or first week of July in order to get it on the November 2024 ballot. So now that they've paused this, they will hopefully, in my opinion, hopefully come back with a slightly revised version of this for 2026. And that's good for citizens and voters. Again, the concept in an election year of 2026, it makes the politicians much more sensitive to responding to what the people are saying.
Quickly, John, how can people contact you?
Email pilot, P-I-L-O-T, J-P-L, my initials, at AOL.com.
Thank you, John. Great work and a great article. Clark County Today, folks. ClarkCountyToday.com. Check it out. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jeff.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. Like to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Friends, you really should read this article. Clark County Today. It is in it. John put some great. He literally showed part of his PowerPoint presentation, which he gave to us at the Political Coffee Clatch a week ago Monday night. And part of it is how ODOT staff has been driving the bus on this thing, irrespective of what the so-called advisory committee, regional transportation, RTAC, which is elected people, mayors, county commissioners, irrespective of what they did, ODOT chose how this thing was going to go forward. Now, let me tell you how that happens. It's not hard to figure it out. Here's how it happens. It happens from a governor who says, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And you guys are going to do it. Governor has that conversation, or the governor's transportation advisor has that conversation with the head of ODOT. ODOT then has a meeting with their managers and says, okay, this is what the boss wants done. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to take the most popular idea and implement it based on polling. You know what that idea was? Adding more capacity to I-205 and I-5, adding more lanes. No, we're just not going to do that. Why? Because the lefty environmental wackos didn't want it. So, fast forward to where we are. The Vote Before Tolls Committee was gathering signatures to make this a statewide referendum, and everybody knew it would pass. When you have, and John also has the polling data here, and you can see it by county. Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas County. You can see the strong support, the somewhat support, and the opposition, huge. Folks, even in Multnomah County, as lefty as Multnomah County is, 69% of the people polled in this category, and it was 600 responded. It was quite a bit more than that, actually. In Multnomah County, 69% opposed tolling. Washington County, 76%. Clackamas, 91%. Huge. Here's the thing. They're still going to toll. They have every intention of tolling these two bridges. This issue is not going to go away, folks. That's why we need to keep the pressure on. In fact, I mean, and I'm quoted in the story here. I'll have it on the show plan today. Here's my quote. Former State Representative Jeff Krupp offered his translation of what the governor is really saying. Here's what my translation is, quote, we Democrats are going to get our butts kicked in the next election and our majority rule will disappear unless we stop this nonsense, and this latest poll shows it, unquote. Poll showing 76% opposition. This issue's still alive. Republicans can still use it. This is just smoke and mirrors, folks. The per mile tax is one thing. They're still going to hit you with a bridge crossing fee, folks. And that's going to be lots of money. It's still going to hit people, the working poor, and it's still going to cause diversion around these bridges. The Abernathy Bridge toll range is from $150 to $560 per crossing. If you got to cross that several times a day, if you're a business, what's that going to cost you? How about you if you're going to work and coming back? $10 a day. Oh, that's only $200 a month, Jeff. Really? In this day and age of Joe Biden inflation, can you afford the $200 a month? I'm just saying. You need to read the article, folks. It's powerful. Now, Jim writes an email. Music Man 44 Mag says, I don't understand. This is an article that Jim sent me from Ammoland about Boebert. Congresswoman Boebert introduces the Build the Wall, Deport Them All Act. She's running for a new seat, a redistricted seat in Colorado. And he quotes Music Man 44 Mag says, I don't understand how old Biden can transport thousands of people from four different countries directly here with our tax dollars. These are the flights, the 320,000 people, and not be held accountable for criminal prosecution because he's doing the same thing as what the coyotes are doing without our permission. And Music Man 44 calls this Oreganistan. Sad, but true. Tonight is the, actually, Monday the 18th, 6:30. Thank you, Tim, is the Salem City Council Salem Revenue Task Force. Going to be in the council chambers. We need to be there. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning.
Morning. My question is about this tolling. I'm out here collecting signatures, and I'm going to look really stupid coming back through and trying to collect signatures again if they don't do something this time around. And a lot of people are going to get tired of signing their signature.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think that they need to keep the heat on. I think we need to get this thing qualified for the ballot because it's not over, Rich. They're still going to toll these bridges. We need.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. Is it? Don't waste people's time. Let's get it done with. Get at least something in the face of the politicians so they know what's coming the next time.
Absolutely, because if we back off now, guess what? You know what they'll do. They'll come right back at it again. Because ODOT still has the funding shortfall, don't they?
Yes.
So you're right. We need to keep it up. So all of those of you who are involved in collecting signatures for vote before tolls, you need to contact Dean Sir and say, don't suspend. Keep it going. Let's qualify it for the battle. Let's let people vote. It'll pass and it'll pass huge. Doug writes, government's not the solution. Life, liberty, and private property aren't guaranteed in Latin America. Proof enough, people living in socialist countries want a better life. Conservatives believe if they just ignore the socialists, then they'll just go away, but they never do. Democrats cause a lot of problems, but Republicans don't solve any. Democrats would have us believe kids know when they're ready to change their gender and when they're ready to start smoking. They'd have us believe that just because they've been wrong about everything doesn't mean their opinion is less valid than yours. Marxists lack the self-esteem. They reject free markets because they embrace their victimhood, so they don't speak up against the regime. Art writes in, Rich is right. We need to keep it. Need it to be permanently set in stone. No tolling in Oregon. See you tomorrow, friends.